Welcome back to Our Town as we kick off Series 2. Our Town is brought to you by the National Trust of South Australia.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Claire Talks podcast. I'm Millie Nichols and today my topic is the old Clare Police Station Museum. One of the oldest surviving buildings in Clare, and certainly the oldest public building in the town, is the old police station and courthouse building. It's an attractive old stone building, the only one of its design in the state, set in a beautiful nature reserve called the Police Paddock, on the western side of the township of Clare. Although described as a large stone masonry building of solid convenience when it was built, it seems very small to serve the purpose for which it was originally meant to be used. There were only 5 rooms inside the building. Across the front, the largest was the courtroom on the southern side. Then there was a small room for the troopers to live in, and next to them, off a tiny passage, opened 2 small windowless cells where any offenders were kept. Across the back of the building was a small shed, a kitchen, and a fodder store. It would have been very cramped living quarters for the several troopers that lived at the station, and on court days, it would have been exceptionally crowded. It was in 1841 that the first police were dispatched to the Mid-North under Inspector Gordon, and they camped in tents on a bend of the River Wakefield near present-day Mintero. In June 1842, as the settlers moved further north, the first police building in the area was on Bungaree Station. It was a simple thatched cottage which has long disappeared. And in 1849, the police moved back to Clare, where they lived in a house leased from a local publican until the police station was built 2 years later in 1851. The police were at the forefront of white settlement in South Australia after the initial establishment of Adelaide. They were true pioneers. They carried mail, they were protectors of the Aborigines, they guided official parties, and they were essentially the social workers of the time, besides which they had the normal police duties that they have today. The South Australian Police Force was based on the London Metropolitan Police, which was the first police force in the world, and that was formed in 1829. The South Australian Police Service was the first state police force in Australia, and it was formed only 9 years later, in 1838. In his book, Paradise of Dissent, author Douglas Pipe wrote that the mounted troopers earned a fine reputation. They were much in demand for expeditions of exploration, and their ranks were filled by young and talented men from the middle and higher classes of emigrants. The police station seems to be in completely the wrong place today, but it was built at one end of the original main street of the town, which came in from the western side of Clare and travelled east across to where the railway station is now. It had a well with good water nearby and a large paddock around the station for the horses. The police were troopers, that is, mounted police, and they initially had to cover a large area to the north of Clare, and they also even made several forays to the bottom of York Peninsula. From 1853, when a police station was built at Port Wakefield, Auburn was a rendezvous for troopers travelling between that town and Clare. Sometimes they stayed at Auburn en route as they carried dispatches between the two towns. When they first came to the Mid-North, the police were mainly involved in keeping the peace between the settlers and the Aborigines. But there are also cases of petty larceny as well, with items such as watches and blankets being stolen. There was the odd murder and the occasional discovery of bodies of men who've perished for lack of water as they were travelling through the district. However, by the end of the 1850s, the main work of the police at Clare was concerned with the disturbances caused by the disorderly conduct of wild young bloods from the northern sheep runs. These young fellows, who were mainly shepherds and shearers, came into Clare to knock off their paychecks, and the presence of six pubs in the main street of the town being the great attraction. Their unruly behaviour caused many a fight, and the police were kept busy conveying the offenders to the police cells at the old police station, which was nearly a mile distant from the main street, by wheelbarrow. This presented all sorts of difficulties. The need for a more central police station was obvious, and a new station and bigger station was built in 1863, complete with a more substantial lockup on the site now occupied by the post office. Over the years, many police have lived in the town, but few have left any real mark on the town. One who did was Constable Ayliffe. A highly regarded officer, Constable George Ayliffe came to Clare in about 1867. Romance blossomed between him and Sarah Ann Gleeson, the daughter of Paddy Gleeson, the so-called King of Clare. For unknown reasons, Gleeson did not favour his daughter's choice. She, however, was determined to marry her policeman, and waiting until she was 21, she eloped with the trooper and married him the next day. Apparently, the young couple were forthwith packed off to a remote part of the West Coast and spent some time there in an outback police station. But by 1873, they were back in civilization. And by the time George Ayliffe died in 1904, he held the important positions of the returning officer for the elections in South Australia, and he was also registered for births and deaths and vaccination for the whole state. I think Mr. Gleeson would have approved of his daughter's choice after all. The old police station and courthouse continued to be used for some years after their closure as a police station, as the meeting place for the town council, as there was no town hall at that time. It was also used as a church before the current Anglican church was built. Not only did the town not have a town hall, but it also didn't have a hospital, although there were several doctors in the town. Injured people were taken to whichever hotel had the room and the staff to help look after them, and there was nowhere at all to take patients with infectious diseases. Eventually, in 1873, the old police station became the casualty hospital and remained a hospital in Clare until the new hospital on Farrell Flat Road was opened in 1924. The old police station was then used as accommodation for the council employees for a while, and eventually it was shut completely. And in 1970, it was rented to the National Trust for use as a museum. So if you want to visit the old police station today and look at some of the history items of Clare, go to the end of Victoria Road, and there you will find this beautiful little building and a wonderful collection of artefacts relating to the district.
Today we have with us Pauline, volunteer from the Clare Museum. She's going to talk to us about one of the most unusual items they have in the Clare Museum. And Pauline is going to try to describe it to you. This item is a wooden and tin construction, about 27 centimetres high. From the front it looks a bit like a mine shaft, but with a sort of porch at ground level, a bit like a drawbridge entrance to a castle. A wire tunnel leads up from the front facade to a tin box. Underneath the tin box is quite a large glass jar. You probably can't guess from this what on earth it is, so I will tell you. It is an old mousetrap, a Bender's Capito automatic mousetrap, to be precise, with the motto, "Always set," and at a cost of 2 shillings and 6 pence. How does it work? Well, I can tell you it certainly gives a mouse exercise without the need for it to go to a gym. You bait the entrance with a sprinkling of flour. When the mouse enters, he steps onto a plank, which triggers a trapdoor behind him. The only way out from the mouse's viewpoint is to climb up the wire tunnel, whereupon he falls into a jar of water, eventually achieving death by drowning. So this now quite rare mousetrap was invented by a German, Karl Bender, and dates to 1896. Karl did not patent his design, and it was copied in the United States. In 2017, a YouTube video was made demonstrating that the 121-year-old trap could still be used. It was set up in a barn overnight and caught three mice. The term automatic refers to the mechanism whereby when the mouse reaches the top of the trap, it steps onto a plank, which triggers a lever connected to the front door. As the mouse plunges to its death, the front door is opened and the trap is once more ready for its next victim.
This is Marilyn Tucker from the Gawler branch of the National Trust. I'd like to add to Pauline's story from the Clare branch regarding the mouse trap. In late 1960s, I spent time in seismic camps in western part of the Northern Territory, in the middle of nowhere, west of Alice Springs. We frequently had mouse problems within the camp, and one of the old bushies in the camp told me of a means to catch mice. The way in which we did this was to get a bucket and half fill it with water. Then you place it on the floor near the edge of the table so that when you stood above the table and you looked down, half the bucket could be seen out beyond the border of the tabletop. Then you took a bottle and you fed a sock onto the bottom end of the bottle, but you only took the sock to where the neck net started to narrow. You then placed that bottle in the sock onto the edge of the table so the neck leant over the edge of the table above the bucket. You needed to wedge the bottle onto the table so that it didn't move. The idea then was for the mouse to come up the sock heading for the bit of cheese which had been jammed into the neck of the bottle. The mouse would proceed along the sock, feeling quite secure. When he got to the narrowing neck of the bottle, the slopy glass would force him to fall off the bottle into the water below. This proved to be a most efficient means to catch mice, and we used it repeatedly. We also had marsupial mice that frequented the camp. They were little mice, very inquisitive, with a bushy tail. I never caught one of those in a bucket, fortunately.
Thanks for joining us. Remember to have a listen to our other episodes. To find out more about our amazing heritage buildings and nature reserves, go to nationaltrust.org.au/essay.